When we turn on the news today, we turn on our phones or our computers, on the internet, whatever be the case, we see a lot of violence, a lot of people against other people on TV. We know what's going on in Israel, the wars that are going on there. We know that Russia and Ukraine continue to be at odds with one another. We know the threats that's been made on this nation. We have some troubles with China and other countries and so on, but Those are physical wars that we see on TV. And throughout history, there have been many battles, there have been many wars, many different countries, and they've been fought for a lot of different reasons. And the objective of any war, no matter which side you're on, is to defeat the enemy. You want to win the war. You have an enemy, you have an adversary on the other side that you want to defeat. And I submit this evening that despite all the physical wars that we've had in the past, everything that's going on today, that the greatest war that we have to fight is a spiritual war. It's the most substantial war that you and I will ever see, is the one that we are a part of each and every day of our lives. There's something at stake. And the stakes in this war are higher than any other war that has ever been fought. It's a war that in which our very souls, not just our physical beings, we're talking. We know physical destruction is a very sad thing. The loss of life is very sad. Physical destruction is a very hard thing to watch on television, or even locally. But we're talking about here, it's a war in which our very souls are at stake. A war that's going to decide something far greater than physical things. It's going to decide where we're going to spend eternity. What condition we're going to spend eternity in. Again, we're talking about spiritual warfare, a war in which Satan himself, it's a war between good and evil, a war between light and darkness. We talk about the flesh versus the spirit. It's a war between the flesh and the spirit, a war between what the world accepts is right and what we know that God says is right. That's the war that we're in. Again, winning means an eternal home in heaven. We know that Revelation 2 and verse 10 says, those who are faithful unto death will receive the crown of life. That's on the winning side. But losing means eternal torment. It means damnation. Losing means that Satan has won the battle for our souls. And that's a condition we don't want to find ourselves in. From the scripture reading, Paul reminded the Ephesians that they were engaged in this battle, this spiritual battle. Let's go back there and reread that. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places." We're not in a physical war. Sometimes we can't see what we're up against. But we can be assured from God's word that there is a war that's going on, a spiritual war that's going on. And in this war that we are in, Satan is the enemy. And we're told that he's going to stop at nothing. If we're Christians, if we're on God's side, Satan's goal is to pull us away. That's the war that we're in as Christians. If we're already in the world, if we're in sin, Satan's already got us, right? But if we're on God's side, if we're Christians, he's trying to get us away. It refers here to this term, the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil simply refers to the schemes of Satan, the trickery of Satan, the plans of Satan that he uses to pull us away from God and back into sin. And we know from God's word that he's cunning, he's crafty, he's tricky. And in this war that we're in, Satan doesn't fight very fair. We know that he looks for our weaknesses. He tries to attack us when we're off guard. He presents many times worldly pleasures, the things that we really like. He's going to present that to us. He appeals to our inward fleshly desires. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 16. It says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Satan is the father of these things. Notice John chapter 8 and verse 44. John chapter 8 and verse 44. It says, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan is the father of sin and deceit. Now look back at 1 John chapter 3. And verse 8. 1 John 3 and verse 8 says, he who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So we understand that who does what is sinful is of who? It's not of God, it is of the devil. Because the devil is the father of the world. He's the father of sin. He's the father of lies. The murderer since the very beginning. That's our adversary. That's who we're up against. And no doubt, he's an unrelenting opponent. Just because we're Christians, just because we may be strong in God's Word, doesn't mean that we're undefeatable. Doesn't mean that we can't be vulnerable at times, so we have to stand guard. We have to be on guard all the time. And in any battle of war, if you want to be successful, if you want to have victory, you have to take time to do what for battle? You have to take time to prepare. You have to make preparation for battle to find out about your opponent. We know who our opponent is. It's Satan. We need to know everything we can know about Satan. How he works. How he tricks us. How he pulls us back into sin. We need to know about our opponent. We need to take time to equip ourselves with the armor. Defense mechanisms that we put into place to guard against that trickery. To guard against that cunningness. And we need to arm ourselves with this weaponry that is necessary in every battle if we hope to defeat the enemy. It's every battle, it's every war that's ever been fought. Preparation must be made. Has to be made if we're going to be successful. And we should be so thankful. We should be so thankful that we have the Almighty God on our side. I'm thankful He's given us everything that we need to know to overcome Satan, to overcome the wiles of Satan, everything that we need to be victorious. We're guaranteed victory if we'll follow His plan. We're guaranteed that if we stick to the plan. But again, that's on us. That's our job to prepare. It's our job to use what we learn, not only to hear it, to learn it, but to use it. All these things we learn in God's Word in order to fight the battle and be victorious in that. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Again, a very simple lesson, but it just serves as a reminder of what we're up against and really what's at stake. Let's notice Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. It says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's how we arm ourselves. Taking up this whole armor of God, preparation must be made if that's what we want to do. If we want to take this whole armor of God, put it to good use, that means preparation. For example, in order to gird ourselves with the truth, we must first learn what truth is. And Donnie mentioned in his class this morning, we know what truth is from John 17:17. God's Word is truth. But it takes time, it takes effort, it takes study to learn that truth, to put it into our hearts, put it into our minds, and to put that to use. It's preparation. Same thing when you talk about the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. The more preparation we make, the more time and effort we put in, the more successful we're going to be. The more study that we put into this, putting into practice these things that we learn in God's Word, the better equipped we're going to be able to defend ourselves of what we're up against. It's impossible, for example, to put on the breastplate of righteousness in order to protect ourselves and defend ourselves if we don't know what God's instruction but show us how to live righteously. If we don't know that instruction, then how do we do that? How do we put that into effect? Again, it takes time to prepare. Same thing when we talk about the shield of faith. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 8 and 9. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, stand fast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." If our faith isn't what it should be, then Satan becomes much harder to resist. And the easier it becomes for us to be pulled away to fall prey to him. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 tells us that victory is indeed in our faith. Again, 1 John 5 and verse 4. It says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13 to watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. And I submit that the more we learn about God, the more we learn about His love for us, the more we learn about His Word, the stronger we become. The more prepared we become, the stronger our faith becomes. That's our victory. 1 John 5 and verse 4, that's where our victory lies, is in our faith and our use of our faith. But that comes from maturity. That comes from preparation. That comes from no longer being babes in Christ, but striving to reach a higher level of spiritual maturity. Talks about that if you want to flip over real quick to Ephesians chapter 4. A couple more passages. Again, think about this preparation. Think about this strength and this maturity and how much harder it is for Satan to deceive us when that happens. But again, it takes time. It takes preparation. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting." It's very easy to deceive somebody that doesn't know any better. We talked about ignorance this morning in Donnie's lesson. If you're ignorant, how easy is it for you to be deceived? And don't you think Satan's going to use that? He's going to use ignorance as a way to defeat you in this spiritual war that we're in. But again, it takes time to prepare. It takes effort. It takes a lot of get up and go, if you will, to reach this kind of maturity here that Paul is talking about. But it must be done if we're going to be successful in this. We talk about the sword of the Spirit that Paul refers to back in chapter 6 and verse 17. Paul says it is the Word of God. And how can we possibly use a weapon when we have no idea what the weapon is? If we have no idea what the weapon looks like, how to hold the weapon, if we have no instruction on that weapon. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, so we need to soak ourselves in it, to arm ourselves with it. We talk about physical wars, physical altercations. You can talk about the people that are fighting these wars, the military, the police departments that have conflict. How much time is devoted to training these soldiers, to train these police officers, and how to properly handle and use the weapons and the defense mechanisms that they're going to use in a physical battle? I submit to you that it's a lot of time. A lot of training is put into that. There's no military worth its salt that's going to send its soldiers into battle without proper time and training on the equipment that they use. Likewise, God doesn't expect us to go into spiritual battle blindly. He doesn't want us to do that. He doesn't expect us to engage in spiritual battle without proper training. And He's given us, again, everything we need to know in the pages of His words. Our eternal destination depends on how well we use what God has given us to equip ourselves in battle. How much time will we spend to equip ourselves? 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll close with this. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We have all we need to equip us. All we need in our arsenal to defeat Satan. But the only question is, will we take time to prepare ourselves? We have everything we need. God's given it to us in His Word. We just need to take time to learn, to study, and to equip ourselves, and we're guaranteed victory. Guaranteed victory. That's the lesson for this evening. I hope it's been beneficial to you. If you're here this evening and you've not begun to prepare yourself for this battle, the first step is to become a child of God, to have your sins forgiven. We know Jesus Christ died on the cross to make that happen. He shed His blood to make that possible. You do that by hearing Romans 10:17, by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Mark 16:16, by repenting, turning from your old ways, your old sinful ways, and turning to God's way, Luke 13:3, being willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as the eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, verse 37. If you're willing to do that, you can be baptized in water. And when you do that, you can have your sins forgiven, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. If you have done that, but you've fallen away, if you need the prayers of the congregation, you need to be restored to that right relationship with God, we can help you with that if you'll come forward as we stand together and we sing.